other half of the Happy Gang partnership was John Stewart, a former actor who played Dame in many J.C. Williamson pantomimes. But when he came to radio, he became a man of many parts.
And here he comes, the happiest man in the whole wide world. Toombs. Good evening, Toombs. You're looking rather puzzled tonight. What's the trouble?
It's the doctor. He thinks I'm a contortionist.
What makes him think you're a contortionist?
I've got a carbuncle on the back of my neck. He wants me to keep an eye on it.
And how are you and Mrs. Toombs getting along?
No good. This morning we fought for 3 hours, hammer and tong.
Who won?
The wife did. She had the hammer.
Yes.
I've had some narrow escapes, Keller.
Is that so?
This morning, the wife hit me over the head with a leaf and nearly killed me.
How could a leaf nearly kill you?
It was a leaf out of the dining room table. Well, take a look at this, Callard. It's a letter from the wife.
But there's nothing on it.
That's right. We're not speaking. I'm always nodding. I'm hypnotized. My bones are cracking. They're fossilized. Oh, happy day. Oh, I could be dashing and debonair, but I'm the victim of wear and tear. Oh, happy day. Oh, lucky me. I used to laugh at, but it made me wince. I haven't done any laughing since. Oh, happy day. Oh, lucky me. Oh, happy day. Oh, lucky me.
Mr. Toombs from the Happy Gang, played by John Stewart. Stewart was a stage name. This lovable character's real name was John Bastard, and John always felt he would never look quite right in light. As it happens, his name never made it to the top of a theatre marquee. But in radio in the 30s, 40s and 50s, there was no larger luminary on the Melbourne scene. John started his radio career at 3LO, and one of his duties then was to read weather reports. On one occasion, he confused points and inches and announced Horsham, 30 inches, Ballarat, 22 inches, Kerrang, 16 inches, Colac, 11 inches, Bendigo, 17 inches. He then realised what he'd done, and without turning off his microphone, he exclaimed for the world to hear, "My God, I've flooded the bloody country." That was controversial ground for Melbourne radio in the early 30s. But John Stewart always walked controversial ground. His puckish, dry, irreverent humour on air was matched by his escapades off air. Add to this his love of life, his love of a drink, and his dislike for authority, and you've got quite a character. And that's just what he was, a character. All his contemporaries had a very soft spot for old John, as he was lovingly referred to, and all had their stories to tell. Sir Eric Pearce.
Possibly the most promising fellow who was there at the time, he's a little older than the rest of them, was John Stewart, because he was so unpredictable. He was extremely funny. He had a basis of a first-class education. And altogether, he was a bad boy, if you know what I mean by that. Often, as studio manager, I had to go in and fill in the breakfast session because John was absent with something or other, hangover probably. But I remember him, I think, possibly, as the one bloke that I related to very closely.
Today's top television actor was yesterday's top radio actor, Keith Eden. He speaks of John.
I'm going to tell you the Flinders story of John, I suppose. He used to vanish now and again. He'd get on the booze, John. And he suddenly decided he'd had enough. And he'd just jump in his car and go away. Anyhow, down here there was an alcoholic artist called Raymond Wallace, who's now dead. He used to drink for 6 months and paint for 6 months. And anyhow, John knew him. And down he came here, just walked out of 3DB. Nobody knew where he'd gone. Not the faintest idea. He just didn't turn up. And Eric Welsh used to do the breakfast session while John wasn't there. Anyhow, one bloke, Les, telling he was the chief salesman, said, "I think I know where he is." So he went down to Flinders, and he didn't turn up either. They used to go up with old Andy Johansson in their cray boats every morning and then come home and get drunk for the rest of the day. So Les didn't turn up for 7 days afterwards. And anyway, eventually somebody, I think it was one of the engineers, said, "I think I know where they are." And he came down and dragged them all back again. So that was Flinders with old John.
Channel 7's Dan Webb talks about his old DB workmate.
John Stewart and I were great friends. John had a love of travel. He had an imagination that was a mile long. And his ambition was to travel around the world. I'd come from Burma, Siam, Indochina, all these exciting places. And so we used to go down to the pub and talk about the fun that I'd had on these trips and so on. And seemed to catch his imagination. Anyway, he lost his voice. And I got the royal summons up to John's apartment in East Melbourne, and he wrote me a note, and he said, "I'm recommending you for the breakfast session." So I was terrified, frankly, because his reputation was very, very great. John Stewart, he was a funny man, delightful man. He was the guy that sacked Sir John Williams, the chairman of the Herald, you know. Well, he used to go on benders every now and again. He'd hop down. It was a pretty torrid sort of breakfast session. You know how breakfast sessions get. And so by midday there was nothing to do, and if there wasn't a cricket match to watch or something of golf to play, John used to find his way down to the Phoenix, and sometimes he used to stay there a little bit too long. And in those days, of course, there were none of the drink driving rules that we have today, and this black MG Magnet that he owned used to sort of zoom erratically down Flinders Street, and somewhere along the line he used to get lost. I think his mind used to sort of tick, 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 where can I go, where can I find hospitality? One night he finished up at Sir John Williams' place and got out there and knocked on the door, and Sir John opened the door. He said, "You're fired." "Had enough of you. Heartily sick of you. You're fired."
John, so far as chairman of the Herald and Weekly Times were concerned, showed no favourites. Sir John Williams was not the only one who had to go in old John's eyes. Rupert Murdoch's illustrious father, Sir Keith Murdoch, was on shaky ground too. Maurie Callard.
But he used to get on the tear occasionally. And when he got on the tear, it would always fall to my lot that I'd have to do the breakfast session whilst he was on the tear. And on one occasion, when he was on the tear, he came back and he said, "It's no good to me," and so and so and so. Well, he's talking to me over the phone. "It's no good to me, and it's no good to me. I'm going to ring Sir Keith Murdoch and fire him." And I said, "Oh, don't be silly, John. You can't do that." He said, I am. He's done this and he's done that and so on. And he did ring Sir Keith. So he rang Sir Keith and fired him. Well, of course, Sir Keith appreciated the joke, apparently, because nothing happened. But that is literally true. He's fired Sir Keith. Or tried to.
Sometimes John got the knife out even closer to home. Even to the hand that fed him. The legendary 3DB manager Dave Worrell wasn't safe. Here's producer Alf Potter.
He was a bit wayward now and again. And he used to ring up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning when he felt he was fit enough. And one morning he rang Dave Worrell and sacked him on the spot.
Now Alf confirms Maurie Callard's memory.
And also another time he got very cross with the Herald board. And he rang Sir Keith Murdoch and didn't like the way Sir Keith Murdoch was running the Herald and the Sun and 3DB, and felt he was responsible for everything that was going wrong. So he rang him and sacked him on the spot.
John Stewart loved sacking them on the spot. But do you know, John himself was never fired from 3DB. Suspended many times. Warned countless times. Threatened with instant dismissal 1,000 times. But in his era, he was as important to 3DB as the radio mast itself. He compared many programs, including a highly popular listener inquiry quiz program called Information Please.
3DB Melbourne, 3LK Central Victoria, the Herald stations, relaying to 2UW Sydney, 5AD Adelaide, and 7HO Hobart. General Motors Holdings welcome listeners in New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia, Western Australia, and Tasmania to Information Please, a program you're invited to participate in by forwarding questions to the station to which you're now listening. If your question is used, there's a broadcasting fee of 5 shillings. If it stumps the experts, there's a £1 award from General Motors Holdings. Now over to John Stewart and the team of experts.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Here we are for Information Please once again. Our team of experts tonight, consisting of Mr. Crosby Morrison, MSc, Editor of Wildlife, and President of the Royal Society of Victoria. Professor W.A. Osborne, MB, DSc, FACS, Professor Emeritus of Melbourne University. Miss Valentine Leeper, BA, and a member of the United Nations Association, also a leader of the Victorian Aboriginal Group. Mr. Alan Nichols, BA and radio playwright. And as sporting commentator, Mr. Eric Wells.
John Stewart was at home in the company of anyone and everyone. It's interesting to note, during the run, the very long run of Information Please, he never sacked anyone. Perhaps John's most famous program of all, though, was the Australian version of an American radio show called Daddy and Snooks that starred the famous American singer-comedian Fanny Brice. In the 40s and 50s, every Sunday night at 7:15, three-quarters of Melbourne radio listeners tuned to 3DB to hear John Stewart as Daddy and adult actress Pat McLean as his young daughter in the immortal Daddy and Paddy.
Paddy, I hope you're not going to do anything silly with these explosives. I once knew a man who used to invent things with explosives. Did I ever tell you about him?
Oh, here we go. Yes, Daddy, do you? What about the man with the hexaposizer?
Well, this man locked himself up in his room one night.
Why?
Don't interrupt. He locked himself up in his room one night. And the next morning, when they opened up the room...
Who opened it?
It doesn't matter who opened it. Mm-hmm. It's just that somebody unlocked his room next morning and they found spots all over the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, go on, Patty. You've been so anxious to ask questions all the time. Why don't you ask one now?
What sort of question would you like me to ask you, Papa, dear?
Well, you're supposed to ask me, were the spots on the wall bits of explosive?
Yeah. I know, Daddy. They were bits of the inventor.
Oh, wouldn't it make you sick?
A lot of memories for a lot of people. As we've covered already, John Stewart was one of the greatest, one of the most unique characters the Melbourne radio ever had. He died in Sydney in April 1985 at the age of 84. It's interesting to note that all the stories told of John, many of which have become radio legends, are told with love, because regardless of how many bars he breasted, how many executives he fired, this man with extraordinary talent had the respect and admiration of everyone about him. He spent some years later in his career as a comedy writer and occasional sketch worker at Channel 9 in Melbourne. One of his most famous performances was as Father Christmas on a special Christmas Eve edition of In Melbourne Tonight. I'm sure Princess Panda will never forget the night that Santa Claus, in front of 500,000 viewers, demanded a dance, a kiss, and the address of her chimney, and then swayed to his dressing room to have just one more festive drink with his fellow performers. A final word from former 3DB manager Curtis Crawford.
John was a rather erratic person. In many ways, he's a brilliant announcer, brilliant man on his breakfast program. He's inclined to bend the elbow a wee bit, and he used to come in to me and resign quite frequently. Then he came in the next morning, he said, "Did you see me yesterday?" And I'd say, "No." "Oh, good." And he'd walk out again and start work again. Funny man.
And that he was. A funny man. A lovely one, too.
A happy day. Oh, lucky.